Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's time.
Time for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game. Touchdown, Las Vegas! We're breaking down the latest Raider news from on and off the field and bringing you conversations with newsmakers and record breakers. So hold on, Raider Nation. It's time to
get it on.
Here's your host, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton.
Raider Nation, it is Tuesday. That means we're one day closer to the Raiders' next matchup. Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. I am Scott Goldbranson. Make sure you subscribe to the show for us. If you're listening on audio, subscribe on your favorite platform. Doesn't matter where you get the show. Do that. Drop us a five-star rating. If you're watching us on YouTube, as many of you do, then go ahead, hit subscription, yes, but you also have to hit notifications. That way you get a little ding every time we premiere a show, and you don't want to miss out on that as well. Now, I don't do this show alone. No, I rely on my good friend, and that is Mr. Mo Moulton. He is an NFL writer at Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist over at sportsnot.com, and he joins me now. And Mo, okay, so we last talked late into the wee hours of the morning, actually, after the Raiders game into Friday morning, after the Hall of Fame game, and we talked about the offensive line, we talked about all sorts of things, and we needed some more time to digest to watch rewatch the game again, and we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to start off with the subject, I think, that is getting too much play, and a lot of people are getting emotional about it and all sorts of things, and that, of course, was the idea that Josh Jacobs could be traded, which is not true, all born out of the fact, Mo, that he played significant snaps in a preseason game. What do you make of this? Why are people misreading the situation with Josh Jacobs?
Two things here. Some of the rational people are connecting the dots because the Raiders didn't pick up Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option. They drafted Zamir White. So it looks like Josh Jacobs is going to be on his way out, and Zamir White is going to be the future at that position. And then you have the people who out there who are out there for clicks. And and me being in this field, I understand that trade articles generate a lot of clicks. When you have a rumor, people want to read the rumor. What's going on? You know, what's the latest? And people went that route and said, oh, maybe the Raiders are going to trade Josh Jacobs after playing him two series in the Hall of Fame game. And Josh McDaniels, I'm sure you have the sound, Josh McDaniels addressed that in the post game. I wrote an article on Sportsnet saying basically, this is standard operation for Josh McDaniels. I believe he did this with the Patriots. All the running backs are going to play in these preseason games. He just wants to get a look at all those guys. And he also said, again, we're going to have the sound to this, that basically there are things that you can do in the game that you cannot simulate at practice for the running back position. And that's why all his guys got to touch the football.
Yeah, this is not, as I said, I think to somebody on Twitter after the game, this is not resort-style training camp. This is not kid gloves. This is not John Gruden. I'm sorry. John Gruden kind of liked to play it up a little bit, you know, sipping margaritas by the pool. That's not what this is. But it's important, too, because the facts are there. They asked the question. The media pool asked the question after the game about why Josh Jacobs played so much. Here's what Josh McDaniels said in case you missed it. If I can get it. There we go.
Ready to go, you know, and, you know, we made the decisions we thought were the right decisions for our team and, some based on depth, some based on just wanting to get guys opportunities to, you know, get in there. And I always think it's good for backs to carry the ball in the preseason, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen when you're getting tackled and hit that you can't simulate in practice. So I think all our guys had the ball tonight. All our guys either caught it or were handed the ball and had to get, you know, tackled. And, you know, we can't really simulate that or rep that in practice.
There you go. I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't know why there's so many questions on or subjugate here. People are making assumptions based on the fact that the guy played. I've seen fans angry, call McDaniel stupid. I mean, I don't understand what it is that you think's going on here. We know the writing's on the wall. He didn't get a fifth-year option. If you listen to this show, you know Mo has said many times, and I have said as well, we don't believe he'll be in the Raiders uniform next year. So what do? For $2.1 million, you have a hell of a bargain. You have a guy who can run the ball. He's a very good player, okay? So, Mo, they got to get him out there. They have to get him game ready. Part of the Raiders' problem has been discipline and focus, and that's what they're having him do.
Absolutely. And the other point is that if they had picked up his fifth-year option, I believe it would have been about $8 million. So I don't think Josh Jacobs just wanted to pay that dollar amount for a running back. So you have to look at not just the player, but the money involved. And I think that's what the decision was based on, the financials. Not so much of we're just trying to get Josh Jacobs out of the way, because people have been asking me over the past few days, do you think Josh Jacobs is going to be in a Raider uniform next year? And we have a whole year. And if we learned anything from last season, is that anything can happen between the course of a season and among the course of the season. So let's just wait. But I think with Josh Jacobs, it's all going to come down to dollar amount. If he has, and I use this example, I don't think he's going to run for 1,200 or 1,100 yards. But let's say he runs for 1,100 yards. He's probably going to price his way out of Vegas because he'll probably be able to get a better deal with another playoff contending team. Now, if he has an average to below average year and he has to settle for less money, it's a better chance that he comes back with Raiders next year because, again, as you just mentioned, he is still a pretty good back. I tweeted this. Mm-hmm. I cannot name 12 running backs better than Josh Jacobs right now in this league. 2 years over 1,065 yards. He can also get you touchdowns in a red zone if he just stays healthy.
Yes, and you mentioned it earlier, so I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here, and that is – we have media, and I say new media mostly, so these are people online, including here on this channel if you're watching on YouTube. These are good people. They make great content. I don't begrudge anyone for making a buck. And if you're driving the algorithms and you're spending the time, and we've seen a lot of content producers who do mostly YouTube. I mean, they're YouTube stars, right? They drive all kinds of watchers, and God bless you for doing it. But they also feed on this stuff because you know what? If you can put into YouTube, Josh Jacobs traded ? With an image, with a thumbnail that calls attention to that, guess what's going to happen? People are going to click on it. And so, yes, this is what has fostered this. But I'm here to tell you, Mo and I are not YouTube fanatics. And you know, we have a little channel here. We do pretty well with it. We're growing. We're fine growing slowly because we're an Odyssey podcast, and that's where our focus is. But I will tell you, fans, don't just click on everything and think it's true, okay? Remember reliable sources. Remember what logically makes sense for this team. And Mo, you talked about Zamir White. A lot of fans on that wagon, as they should be. We knew when he was drafted, we talked about it. Quality young back. He could be a guy who, if he puts in the work, fits in well, especially in this system, he could be a long-term solution as one of the solutions. But again, Mo, this system, remind people about how Josh McDaniels uses his backs, because you're not going to have the traditional bell cow running back.
Right. You may have a feature back that gets 12 to 15 carries per game, but I don't think any running back on this roster this year or next year is going to surpass, you know, 210 carries, may barely get over 200, if that. But, you know, different backs are going to get the football. 3 or 4 guys are going to touch the football. So I wouldn't worry about who's the starter and how many carries they're going to get. It's, can the run game be effective with the room that you have? And I think, and I said this on Twitter, I think between Josh Jacobs and Zamir White, the Raiders have a really good 1-2 punch there. So why would you want to trade one of those guys? Keep them both, have a strong running back duo, and then you have Drake and possibly Brandon Bolden to fill in the gaps there. So this is just standard. Again, this is standard operation for Josh McDaniels. He's gonna rotate backs. Different guys are going to see the football. He may even ride the hot hand in some games where Zamir White may get the most carries 1 week. Drake may get the most carries another week. Who knows? But that's the of having a good rotation, is that you don't have to depend on one guy. So if one guy goes down, you can tighten the ranks and still spread the ball up between three backs and have a good ground attack.
Absolutely. And after watching the game for a second time, and including the first two quarters a third time, I will tell you, Raider fans need to worry about other things. They don't need to worry about running backs, okay? What they need to worry about is the offensive line, okay? We talked about it last time. We said we had to watch it a little more, and we have. Oh, by the way, before I continue, rest of today's show, because we went 100 miles an hour from the beginning. On today's show, Josh Kamenite from Raider Dad, an amazing charity, a young charity, and I'm always blown away by how much you and Raider Nation do. This community gets together and does so many wonderful things. It just blows my mind. And Josh is going to be on to talk about Raider Dad in the second segment. And then some guy from Vegas, Kelly Kreiner or somebody like that, he's going to come in and he's going to talk about how I had the best fantasy draft for the Silver and Black Today Fantasy League. Not really, but close. So we're going to talk about the fantasy stuff at the end of the show, but that's it. But Mo, as I was making the point, don't worry about running back. Worry about the right side of the offensive line. Okay, we watched the tape. You watched the game again. Brandon Parker was as bad as I thought he was. I defended him early in the game. I thought he had some good moments early on, but then he just kind of lost it. What was your assessment of him playing on the left side? And by the way, Josh McDaniels, when asked about him playing on the left side, if it had any impact, said on this team, you're going to have to play multiple positions, so that shouldn't have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wrote about that in my piece on Sportsnet. And I think it was Vic Tafer of The Athletic who asked the question. And as you said, Josh McDaniels basically said, well, we understand where he didn't say this, but paraphrasing. Yeah, he practiced at right tackle. He played at left tackle, but that shouldn't affect his performances as much as it did on Thursday night's game. So he's got to pick it up. Or else, I originally said that it wouldn't affect his race at right tackle, but what I will say is that the Raiders should go out and get a right tackle. I wrote that in the piece on Sportsnet that game, if it highlighted anything negative, it showed that the Raiders definitely need to bring in another tackle, whether that's the guy that's going to compete with Parker and Alex Leatherwood to start or some veteran insurance, but they need to address that position. They may wait until after they make some cuts, but they need to do it.
Now, didn't you mention somebody at one time that they should go sign that's still on the street?
I'm not sure, but I think a guy named Darrell Williams might be available. But I will say a lot of Raider fans have tweeted at me and said, Darrell Williams signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the wrong Darrell Williams. That's Darrell Williams with two R's. There are two Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams with one R is the guy that the Raiders should sign. Darrell Williams with two R's is the guy that signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just wanted to clear that up.
Yes. So there's no question they need the help. And now some of the beat writers, I think, as you mentioned, Vic earlier asking that question, Vic also said, hey, I think you tweeted after the game, it's time for them to go get a veteran. I think it was a story, actually. So people are seeing that, and it's the one glaring issue on that offense. There's just no question. And so you have to go do it. Now, Alex Leatherwood was a mixed bag. I thought Alex Leatherwood at times looked good, at other times couldn't move his feet. His handwork was bad at times, but there were flashes there. Mo, what do you think about his progress? What did you like about what he did against the Jaguars, and what didn't you like?
A lot to unpack here, and this is why I don't like to have strong opinions right after the game. I actually watched Alex Leatherwood again before I came on the show with you, and I give him a B- if I were to grade him. I want to start with the negative.
Fair.
Now, in fairness, he did have help. There were times where you could see Foster Moreau come in and chip before he runs out on a route. So he did have some help there and pass protection. There are times where it looked like he just went low to cut out a defender's legs just to avoid giving up a pressure. So I saw that. There were times where he had help with double or maybe triple teams on his side of the line. Now, I will say he was going against Dwayne Smoot, who's no bum, 17 and a half sacks over the last 3 years. So he had decent competition, just wasn't some third string backup he was going against. So he had solid competition there. On a positive note, I will say I think he did really well in run blocking. I think his run blocking is excellent. Excellent, but really good. I think that was the key part of his game that I noticed, that he either made strides or he's pretty solid. He can hold his own as a run blocker in a run game. So if anything, the Raiders' ground attack should be improved if they have Leatherwood out there, because he can hold his own in that fashion. But again, with the pass protection, I would worry about him against guys like TJ Watt, Cameron Jordan, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, guys you're going to see this season. If he's going up against an elite pass rusher, I'm a little worried. But if he's going against an average pass rusher, he can get a little help from Foster Moreau or a chipping tight end, he'll be fine. But what I will say is, in watching him and watching the game, I thought Jermaine Illuminar did a good job on both sides of the line. I think if Alex Leatherwood is not the starter, if Brandon Parker is not the starter, I wouldn't mind plugging in Jermaine Illuminar in there because, again, he has played right tackle under Josh McDaniels in New England. So his the position is not foreign to him. He can hold his own there in that spot.
Well, and I think that's what we got from the comments both after the game and then in the press conference the day after the game that Josh McDaniels gave to the media was that they're going to play whoever they play. They're not worried about where you're drafted. They're not worried about what your name is. They're going to put the best guys out there that they can. And I agree with you about Illuminar. Back to Leatherwood, though. I mean, at times, I was struck, and maybe I just fixated too much. His handwork, it was like me at the seafood buffet. It was just terrible. It was choppy, and it was I couldn't understand it, if it was the speed, and he was trying to catch up, so he was grabbing. But it just looked really sloppy, and this really surprised me. And we talked a few weeks ago about all the off-season training Leatherwood had done, and that's what worries me the most. Is, you know, the guy gets beat, or if he's a little slow or something this early in the preseason with this first preseason game, you kind of understand it. But some of the fundamentals with the footwork, with the handwork, just seems to not be there still.
Yeah, and I go back to the offseason when Vic Tafer of The Athletic again asked this question about his hand work. Does he need to be more violent with his hands? And he said, I need to know where to put my hands.
Right.
And as you observe, he still needs work there. And I'm sure they're going to work with him, continue to work with him on that. But a fundamental like that, if you can't get that down pat, then you're not going to start at tackle in the NFL because guys are going to be able to key in on that. So we'll see if he can clean that up against the Vikings on Sunday. That's something that I'm going to be looking at. I'm also going to be looking at, are they still going to give him help on his side of the line? Because during the regular season, when you have Darren Waller out there and you want Darren Waller to run a complex route, he may not be able to chip as long as a Foster Moreau in a preseason game. So he's going to have to be able to hold his own by himself on an island before you get to the regular season.
All right. So there you go. What else did you see? What else stuck out in rewatching the tape? For me, as well, again, Stidham was really impressed with him. I was the night of the game when we did the post-game show. But in re-watching it, I was just struck by his poise. He obviously knows the offense really well because he spent years in it under Josh McDaniels. But I really like what I saw out there. He limited the mistakes, too. There was nothing close to a mistake that could have created a turnover that you worry about with a backup. What was your take on him when you rewatched the game?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much put himself in the lead for that primary backup job. I know we both like Nick Mullins because of his experience, but from what I saw in that preseason game, Jarrett Stern really did well for himself and boosted his stock. Back to the offensive line, though, something that a lot of people aren't talking about. The offensive line didn't have one penalty that game. Not one. An offensive lineman.
Remember we asked Mostradamus about that before the game?
Yeah, and I thought...
And you thought, it's part of the preseason.
It's going to be part of the preseason. You're going to get some sloppiness. Now, there was a bumble snap between Nick Mullins and Andre James. That's going to happen. But I think it's encouraging to see that there were no holding or false start penalties. Again, we talked about mental errors this season with this coach's staff and Josh McDaniels coming in and making guys run laps. I think that's translated at least first preseason game that they had against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And McDaniels talked about that after the game, too, because, of course, he said, yeah, there were some good things, some bad things. But he went right to, but this team looked focused. They stayed on task. They knew where they were going. Mm-hmm. And that was the other thing in watching, even in the second half where there were more mistakes, these guys are all going to where they're supposed to be. I think I mentioned that post game too. That's what impressed me, Mo, was the fact that these guys, you know, under John Gruden, even last year, you saw guys just didn't seem to be in the right spot, right? We saw it a lot with Jonathan Abram. He was in the right spots, didn't always make the right play, or the best play, but he was in the spot to make the play, which is the first step. I mean, it's early in the preseason. Did you notice that?
Yeah, and I think there's a balance. I think there's two school of thoughts when it comes to the preseason. You rest your starts because you don't want anybody to get hurt, and I think that's the route that John Gruden took, so I understand that. But I think Josh McDaniels looks at it as, look, we have some young guys who could possibly start. They need the reps. They need the experience. They need the snaps so that we're not sloppy come week one, week two, week three. And we don't want to go down 1-2, 0-3, 0-4. So let's get these guys these snaps. Yes, there's a risk because they can get hurt. But at least if these guys make it out of the exhibition play and get to the regular season, they'll play like well-oiled machines. They won't have the mistakes that we would have to work out in a normal preseason game. So I think as long as guys don't get hurt, people won't be calling Josh McDaniels stupid for playing his starters in the preseason. Now, if a guy goes down, he's going to get criticism. I'm sure he's aware of that, but he's doing it his way, and I think it's fine for right now.
No doubt. Also, I got to give you credit, and of course, I'm biased because, as I told people the last show, my daughter went to Arizona State. Darian Butler led the team in tackles during the game. Looked really good. I watched him on second and third time around, and boy, man, I got to give you credit where credit is due. He has been, and now I'm seeing other sites, by the way, pick up on the Darian Butler, so kudos to you, Mo. But, man, this kid really, really shows out well, and I think they're going to need him, so it's a big, big get. And you talk about draft gems, but you talk about an undrafted guy, right? The Raiders had trouble drafting people in high rounds the last few years. Now they get an undrafted guy. To me, where you look at him and how he played, even in this its first game, I understand it, you look at him and you're like, how did this guy not get drafted?
Yeah, I think it goes back to what he did before his last year at Arizona State. I wrote about this plenty of times. I believe he dropped 10 to 15 pounds. A lot lighter, of course. Some people say he undersized because I believe he's barely 6 feet tall, 220-something pounds. But it allows him to move around the field and be quick to the football, as you saw on tape against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday. And that was what I keyed in on a lot of my columns with him is that, yeah, his first few years in Arizona State didn't really stand out. But that last year, when he shed some weight, he looked like a different player. And I think that's going to help him get on the roster again, because if you can dart to the football and be in on all the action, that's going to get you a spot on special teams. Now, it does help him that Micah Kizer is on IR. Mm-hmm. So now there's a free spot open. You can get in over Kenny Young, who hasn't played a lot of special teams in recent years, and get behind Jayon Brown, Divine Diablo, and Denzel Perryman to get a spot at the linebacker position. So I think it's his for the taking. If he continues to show out, I think he makes a 50-man roster.
There you go. I'm thinking he will, too. Well, that's the fastest 20 minutes in Raider Nation right there, as Mo and I go through kind of our Josh Jacobs rants and a little bit of revisiting the preseason game against the Jaguars and our takeaways on the offensive line. We are going to step aside for a break. When we come back from that break, we're going to talk to Josh Kamenite from Raider Dad. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Don't go anywhere, Raider Nation.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Scott Gilbranson and Mo Moten with you here. Appreciate you guys being with us. And one of the things that Mo and I always talk about is just the remarkable nature of Raider Nation, of the fans and the people that make up Raider Nation. And we have Murph on our show from Raiders Fan Radio. Of course, he's involved with the One Raider One Foundation and what they do for the Fred Biletnikoff Foundation. We talked to him about that in the post game, but there's lots of other things going on out there, Mo, and I'm really excited to bring on this gentleman as well as we look at other things happening in the community. And so we bring in now Josh Kamenite. Josh Kamenite is with Raider Dad. He founded Raider Dad just a month ago. I mean, this thing has taken off like you would not believe. In the organization's purpose is to help inspire the kids of Raider Nation, help kids dealing with tough obstacles and challenges in their life, take them to a game, get them out, let them escape a little reality a little bit. But I'm going to let Josh tell you about it. Josh, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black Today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. That's right. We just started a month. We weren't really sure the type of impact, you know, in response that we were going to get. But within a month already, we've already been able to families with the opportunity to join us at the first preseason game with the Vikings. So some really cool stuff going on so far.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the game coming up on Saturday that you bring in the families to, and the tailgate you're going to have out in Lot J as well. But let's start with kind of the genesis of this. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what gave you this idea? Obviously, being a Raiders fan and knowing how strong Raider Nation supports each other, you figured you'd get the support. But tell us a little bit about why.
I have my own season tickets to create a tradition like the old school way of going to the game with your son for opener. Some people just do that, or, you know, multiple games a year. And what I was seeing when I was taking my son, you know, he wasn't really understanding football at the time. He's picked up the game, and you just see the liking with the Raiders. You know, when we were driving by the stadium now, he's asking, you know, when are we going to the game? You know, when's the next? Just see the impact with my son. And I realized that a lot of kids don't really have this opportunity because, you know, kid, if you have, you know, two other kids, it's a lot of money for to provide for your family. And this was just came up with to give back to the kids. And at the same time, you know, we're building up the younger generation of Raider Nation. So that's where you can see it started on a Facebook page, and it just took off. So it's some great stuff so far.
So Josh, just as you mentioned, you just started a month ago. Now, usually with things like this, it's usually not one person doing everything. So I don't want to assume, but is it a one-man army, or do you have a team behind you doing this? Like, how is it being put together behind the scenes?
So initially, I just created a Facebook page, and I came across the lady and her husband, and she owned it. Her name's Stella, and Stella Lakely, and she just gravitated to, you know, the idea in the parade, and she's been on top of everything. So she's actually helping me provide the tailgate aspect of this. Kept going, you know, I'm getting people calling me every day, messaging me, like, how can I help? You know, what are you guys planning on doing to turn this into a legit organization? This is no longer just a Facebook group, a kind gesture. Like, this is has legs to it, and who knows, you know, what it's going to lead to in, you know, regular season games.
Yeah, and it's amazing because I know we just heard this week that Allegiant Stadium to go see a Raider game is third or fourth, I think, most expensive in the NFL. So it goes to your point about, hey, if you got a family, it's going to be hard to get kids out there. And Mo, even we were talking before the show, and Mo, where he grew up in New York City, you know, it was difficult. It was hard to get to a game, almost impossible for a lot of people. And for a lot of kids today, it is as well. That side of it's one thing. But then the whole idea of, you know, kids that are facing challenges and they just need a break, and this gives them an opportunity to, you know, experience something where they get to see their heroes, the guys that they watch every Sunday. Tell us a little bit about that, and what kind of kids are you dealing with there with the organization and what they're doing?
So initially, we didn't have good connections with like nonprofit organizations, so we basically just let people bring nominations to us, you know, whether it was a friend, a coworker, or just somebody they knew on Facebook. They would nominate a kid, they would bring them to me, I would set up an interview, you know, we would discuss some things and, you know, see, you know, what some of these kids are dealing with, whether it was a, you know, something going on in their home life or medical condition. But we also wanted to, you know, expand it a little bit, you know, whether it was a kid doing something good in the community. We're real big into youth organizations and athletics. So those are the type of things that we're looking at, even some type of bullying we're trying to get along in, you know, to protect against it. So those are the kind of things you're going to see August the 14th.
Speaking of the kids, I just wanted to touch on a story that kind of got me choked up as I was reading it on your Facebook page. I just want you to share the story about the incident with Devontae Adams throwing a ball to, I believe it was Benny on her birthday, and I believe an adult took the ball And there was just an outpouring of help within the Raider Nation community. And me and Scott are up here a lot, and we talk about how we get sometimes we get the angry part of social media. But just talk about that story about the positives effect and how you changed that girl's day and kind of turned a negative into a positive.
So that's this is where I love Raider Dad, because when you look at the Raiders, you look at bigger organizations, they don't really, I mean, like they have a connection with the fans, but for me, I have a connection with a fan base that, you know, connected to their Facebooks, their Instagrams. I'm able to catch the story before it even goes mainstream to the news, the Raiders at times, or somebody can bring the story to me. So I was actually out of town and I came across it and I was following it. When I got back to my hotel room, I reached out to this lady because I, you know, I'm familiar with her parents and, you know, I talk to them every so often, and I knew she was real big into what I started a month ago. And I wanted this, you know, because there's always two sides of the story. She tells me, you know, it's her birthday. She went to training camp all excited. Davante Adams actually tossed the ball to her, and unfortunately she wasn't able to catch it. And the guy took the ball, and, you know, I mean, it, you know, I guess it's understandable, but like, you know, the kid's birthday, it was going to her, but, you know, she was really upset. And I told her, like, I have a Hunter Renfrow autograph photo that I want to give to your daughter. You know, there's no, you know, recognition or anything. You can say it's from you. We're just trying to, you know, change this moment for your daughter. And, you know, she it went on to Twitter. The Raiders got involved in it. She got a ball from Derek Carr. And, you know, then she ended up on the news and, you know, gave us a shout out. So, you know, we appreciate that. But that's not what it was for, you know. We were just trying to help this girl out.
Well, and that's the thing, doing the right thing, which is what your organization is about, too. And I think that, you know, I've had that experience with the Raiders. Actually, Mo and I know somebody who had an issue, and we let the Raiders know about it, and they took care of it. My good friend Brian passed away, lifelong Raider fan. They sent a letter to his funeral, crediting him with being a Raider fan, and condolences to his family. So the organization has been great, and will do those types of things, because that you're right. That relationship between them and the fans is just a different one than other ones. Their other teams do great things with their fans. Don't get me wrong. It's just a different thing. But Josh, too, the other thing I wanted to mention with this is the fact that so much of what this has been is you wrangling folks, PSL holders, season ticket holders who are giving up their seats for this game. Talk about the response that you've had from those folks. That's, you know, I know it's preseason right now, and you might even have opportunity during the regular season, but that's expensive seats. And the fact that these people are willing to step up and do that shows, again, Raider Nation supporting Raider Nation.
Yeah, for me, you just really see what, you know, how close Raider Nation can be, and how if you have a, you know, something good to rally around, everybody's getting involved. You know, I know a lot of PSL holders and fans in general. And as soon as I brought it to them, you know, I was expecting maybe 2 to 4 families be helped for the whole year. But within a week or two, we're talking 20, 30. Now we're at 46 families coming.
46.
August
wow.
Going. And, you know, I acknowledge this couldn't have been done, you know, only me. It's not like I'm providing 46 on my own. There's a lot of help that goes into this. It's just remarkable where we're at already, and, you know, where this can go. I think it's crazy to me.
Josh, tell me where people, if they want to go, they go to the Facebook group, right? If they want to donate, if they want to be involved, if they want to come out and support you in Lot J on Saturday, is that what they need to do?
So anybody that wants to get involved, first, all we're asking the people, you know, get the word out, because once we get the word out, there's the number of families that we can help is just unlimited at this point. And we do accept donations for tickets. We do have some platforms set up if you would like to, you know, gift a child another experience with Venmo, Cash App, other platforms like that. But we're just asking everybody, come see it for yourself. You know, it's great to read about it and, you know, see different things on our social media platforms. But when you're there, we're inviting everybody to come out, see it live for yourself, and you can see the impact, you know, that we're already having and what's about to happen.
That's awesome. Josh Kamenite with Raider Dad. Make sure you go check out the Facebook group there. Join up, help out. And Josh, we'll check back with you. Anything we can do, anytime you want to send us information about what you're doing, you know, Mo and I are down and we're going to help you guys because we believe strongly in what you're doing. And kudos to you and everyone else who's helping for getting this thing up and going so fast and for helping out the kids of Raider Nation. Developing that next generation of Raider Nation is huge. Kudos to all of you guys.
Thank you for having us. Hopefully you can join us someday.
Absolutely. We would love that.
Absolutely.
All right. There you go. Josh Kamenite, Raider Dad. Check out the Facebook page. That is just killer, Mo. I mean, amazing in a month. That just goes to show you the power of the community. And I always talk about Raider Nation not as a fan base, but as a culture and a true family community. And this, again, proves that.
Absolutely. And that's why I brought the whole social media aspect of this, because as I said, sometimes we don't get the best of social media when we're online because of our jobs and our careers. But it goes to show that there are still good people out there doing great things. And Josh Kamenite is one of those people. And I support him in that J-Lot takeover. And I hope he's able to take a bunch more families to these games, because as I said, too, I didn't have those opportunities as a kid. So to see someone else do it in another community, it's a great thing.
It is. And if you're out there and you're a PSL holder, season ticket holder, if you have tickets to a game that you're not going to use, you know, again, get in touch with Josh via that Facebook page and help out Raider Dad. Pretty killer stuff. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to close out the show learning how Mo might just not be the fantasy dynasty builder that everybody thinks he is. Or maybe he is. I don't know. We'll take a look. We'll review the grades of the draft. We'll talk trash to one another as Kelly Kreiner jumps in and joins us as well. All right, we're going to step aside. Silver and Black Today podcast here on the Odyssey Network. Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Mo Moten, Scott Gilbranson with you. It's time to talk fantasy football. It's time to talk about who might win our league. Yes, it's the four of us from the show, myself, Mo, Kelly Kreiner, and our producer, David Stepanian. And we held our draft on Saturday. And let's just say that there was a lot of talk. And I don't know about you, Kelly, but we're going to go through some grades here. But I was the one that was going to do the worst, and I seem to have done the best. And now Kelly freezes, and we can't hear him.
Yeah.
There he is.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
My thing here just keeps kind of flickering on and off.
Yeah, okay.
But Yahoo grades don't really matter because Yahoo grades fall. So the better you do on that, the worse you actually do in football.
It's true. Oh,
but see, here's the thing. It's always the people who don't grade well that say the grades don't matter. Now, if the grades mattered, then you would have been ranked highly. Then they would have mattered, right? Because that's what I find about that is the grades don't matter unless you would have come out on top, or Mo would have come on top, or someone else might have come on top. It just seems to me like it's a little bit of sour grapes.
Actually, if you go back in the text chain between the three of them, it's about how Yahoo doesn't win you anything because their grades are so bad.
That's true. That's true.
I've got the receipts.
Okay. Well, so let's just for the listener's sake, we're gonna go over real quick. I have some boards here to show people the grades. This is the Yahoo grades, but I didn't stop at Yahoo because I knew you were going to say that. So if we look at this is the Yahoo grades, which Kelly said are not reliable. And let's just go along with that and say that's true. Slow Jam James, who actually we all agreed had a good draft, followed by me, yeah. Followed by Rossi the Aussie from Down Under with a B. And then you got Mo down there, a few more. And then Kelly is, where are you? Oh, yeah, C, report card. Evan Neal before Zod is the name of his team, if you know the Superman movie. But this is the report card as of now. Now, I would say, guys, that overall I felt that all of the players, our listeners, all of you guys did pretty well. I mean, considering who we had to deal with and what was happening there, I thought we did pretty well. Everybody.
Considering I was, you know, put out to lose and sabotaged from the onset of things, I think I should get an A- just because I was put way behind the starting line. You all got to start the starting line. I was 5 yards behind the starting line, picking 12th, and still crushed the draft. That's kudos to me, by the way.
Yeah, and sorry, Kelly, we got your face kind of cut off on the video because for some reason, both our guests from Las Vegas today have had issues with internet. But we can hear you, Kelly. So what do you have to say in rebuttal to Mo?
Explain yourself, Kelly.
I got a C draft grade, and I didn't draft a tight end. That just shows how good my draft actually was, because there's three. And I wasn't going to draft a kicker either, but as you guys know, I was actually at work when the draft went on, and the computer auto-drafted my kicker. But I was going to draft either one of those, pick up an extra position player, wait the 3 weeks till the season starts. If anybody gets hurt, I have a backup, or they lose it. Like, then drop whoever doesn't do anything and pick up those spots. I don't have a complete team right now. But also I have extra position players that may amount to something a little more important than a kicker or a defense.
Yes. And that's the thing too. I checked in with our friends at Fantasy Pros. So, cause Yahoo's not reliable, and look at that. They have somebody named Gully as the number one team overall with Rossi number two. And Mo, this is where you fell in the rankings to 7 behind Kelly. You guys like these rankings better?
I find it interesting that Fantasy Pros didn't like Slow Jam's James draft as much as Yahoo did. So
I was too.
I'm just pointing that out. But I will say about Kelly's roster, one thing I will say about him, and he said this before the draft. He said, you know, if you're not first, you're last. So you may see some weird things. You're going to see some heavy swings. And I actually like what Kelly did with his running backs. Getting the rookie out of Atlanta, Allgeier, mm-hmm. I believe it is, and then Isaiah Spiller. Those two guys could have a big role this year. I think the Atlanta back could be the lead back. They're talking about him as a possible bell cow in Atlanta. And as we all know, Austin Eckler's never been a workhorse back. Now, he can't catch out of the backfield, but he's not going to get a whole bunch of carries. So Isaiah Spiller could have a pretty good role there. So I like what Kelly did with his running backs. And, of course, Travis Etienne, James Robinson coming off of, I believe, Achilles injury. He could have a big role. So I'll give kudos to Kelly on that. He had a really good plan for his running backs.
Yeah, and you're seeing now on the screen a breakdown of Kelly. This has the Yahoo gray. There's Kelly. He's actually moving, too, in video. This is good. I'll get him on in a second. But if you look at Kelly's team, what surprised me was they ranked his best pick as Sky Moore. Now, as a kid, I like, actually, Kelly. But Sky Moore, tell us what you saw in him, because Yahoo obviously loved that you picked him.
Well, basically, I mean, if you look at how bad the wide receivers are for the Kansas City Chiefs outside of the stud, but like Marquez Valdez-Scantling dropped two deep balls in 10 passes in a 10 play drive the other day. That's what he does better than it. Schuster's trash. And I mean, Sky Moore's probably going to be this number two receiver out besides Travis Kelce, last pick in the draft. Regardless of what, like he will have a role and he will have a position in an offense that is needing to fill the yards.
Yeah. Well, and Kelly, the other thing I'm going to bring up here, if you can see the screen, I know it's really small there. If you're watching it on like an iPad running the damn video, like I am, is that they highlight here how difficult your first half is. And I think you said something in our group text last night to this effect, saying like if you got through the first half of the season, you'd be okay. Is that, I mean, that's tough, isn't it? You have like one of the toughest schedules earlier on in the season, but you're going to stream a lot of guys, right? And it's, we drafted very early in our league, to be honest. So you have opportunities now between now and the end of the preseason to pick up some help if you need it.
Yeah. Well, the tight end, like I said, I don't have a tight end, but I always stream tight. If I don't get one of the top.
That's okay. Mo's got like four of them, I think.
Well, I mean, I offered him a kicker for a tight end the other day. He didn't seem too interested. Like, I don't care about a tight end. I didn't get one of the top four. They're all a crapshoot anyway. So I'll wait 3 weeks, see what happens. There's a chance I might just go without a tight end for week one. If it works out, one of my position players on my bench I want to drop, I'll play without a tight end for a week and see what happens. I don't care.
You know what?
There's,
you
know, like there, I said,
there's four solid ones sitting right out there anyway. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but you already know probably. So, yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to be hurt by a tight end. I never am. I'm sure you're not either.
Yeah, there's 30 starting tight ends in the league. There's 12 people in our league. If you got, like I said, if you guys want to fill up, take a bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
Fine. I'll stream whoever I have to each week. I'll have a different one every week if I have to. I don't care, because the tight end position's those top four or five guys. It's really not something I worry about as a fantasy football player.
By the way, the other thing that I got from Fantasy Pros, Mo, I know you'll jump in here. I'll give you an opportunity. Were the power rankings that they had, and they had me as number one. Did you hear that? Me as number one, with a perfect score of 100. By the way.
Well, you had the first pick in the draft. They're obviously going to love your draft. You got the best player.
Yeah, but look, my strength by position, tight end was number one.
Yeah, because your second pick was a tight end.
Yeah, but
good job.
But go ahead, Mo.
I just, Scott, if you don't make the playoffs, we need to replay this show.
Yeah,
and scold all the analysts who loved your draft. If you don't make the playoffs, because you should, as Kelly said, with the first pick in the draft, you should be in there.
Yes, I agree. Now let's look at some of the other teams, because I don't want it just to be talking about us, because we have listeners involved and we can't get to every team with the time we have. Mm-hmm. But one draft that we all agreed that we liked was Slow Jam James, who got an A- from Yahoo. Here, Mecole Hardman as one of his top picks. Man, I thought he was really balanced. He's the guy who, when he sent his video in, when he got selected for the league, was in the first come, first serve, guys. He was the one with the championship belt and the big old championship ring. And now we kind of know why, because James knows what he's doing. He really balanced out the draft well. And if you look at his top players, he got three running backs that are just freaking solid with Mixon, Eckler, and what's his name down in Arizona. So there you go. I mean, he's a tough one. I mean, I Rossi's a number two. We're going to get to Rossi's team in a minute. But I think Rossi and James, to be honest, looking at those two guys' teams, pretty stellar.
James probably upset because Kelly just crapped all over Juju Smith-Schuster as his starting wide receiver. But I will say Slow Jam James, I liked what he did with his draft. I think he's a playoff team. You point him out. I think Rossi, though, I think he's definitely going to have a playoff team. Rossi's roster, to me, super stacked. I told him that on Twitter. I told him that doesn't mean you're going to win the league, but you give yourself a puncher's chance.
Kelly, what do you think? You look at those two listeners and their teams. Who do you like there?
Well, I think it's kind of unfair that Rossi was drafting from the future. He may have had more information and drafted on a Saturday and he drafted on a Sunday.
Yeah, but he was at his daughter's soccer game, so.
Oh, my gosh, Kelly.
They said, like, Slow Jam James, they said his best pick was Mecole Hardman.
I know,
nobody
which is
in
weird.
Fantasy wants Mecole Hardman on their team. Great pick. No, nobody wanted him. He went like, no, that's the problem with these rankings and all this. None of that stuff matters, man.
It doesn't. It's mm-hmm. But it's fun for the show. And here's, by the way, here's Rossi's team, which is called Carmageddon. And here's his report as well. man, he got that Kyler Murray pick for him. I mean, I had already had a quarterback, and people tend to take quarterbacks still too early, but I thought where he got him was absolutely stellar, Mo, that he was able to get Kyler Murray that late in the draft and at a time when he actually needed another quarterback.
Yeah, the other thing is I'm huge on Allen Robinson, as you all know. I think Allen Robinson is going to have a bounce back year. That's assuming that Matthew Stafford's arm is okay, because there were reports that, you know, he had some issues, but Sean McVay said he can now sleep after watching him practice. I decided to stay away from Matthew Stafford simply for that reason, because you never know with a long season. But I think Allen Robinson was the pick that I liked, that I wanted, that's on Rossi's roster, that I wish he would trade to me for a kicker.
Kelly, thoughts on Rossi's team drafted in the future?
No, he does have a good team. The Matthew Stafford stuff, like Bo said, that kind of dealt with this all of last year, so they don't think it's going to be a problem. It's like, yeah, because there's no way after playing a full football season, a hurled elbow's not going to get. But but no, yeah, he had a good team. Like I said, I was looking at Allen Robinson. I avoided him for that same reason. Like I said, it's under protest because, you know, he was drafting from the future.
He certainly drafted like it. He knew what was coming. Now we look at the man of the hour, the Vince Lombardi of fantasy football, Mo. Here's Mo's team. And if you looked at what he got, in his draft summary, you have to worry when the leading kudo is most improved and is Jameis Winston.
That should be Hall of Famer.
That was a surprise. That was a surprise in the draft. I'm so shocked that I wind up with Jameis Winston and he's not on Kelly's roster. That was a shock.
I was shocked.
I'm a one quarterback person in fantasy. I only draft one with it. But yeah, it's, I won't take up the roster space when I can fill it with somebody. Like I said, I've got receivers, bench guys. If somebody gets hurt in front of them, that value doubles. I'll take that when I can just stream a quarterback for the week or two I need somebody.
Yeah, and you look at Mo. Here's where I think Mo's going to face a challenge, so you better be good, Mo. It says here that you have the third most difficult schedule based on projected records. Of course, that's all guessed. And then it also talks about, in spite of having an unfilled wide receiver position in round six, you went with another running back. I don't think that's unexpected. I would always go with a running back first, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I always kind of lean toward running backs because you can stream wide receivers. A wide receiver goes down. A wide receiver usually pops up midseason. He's having a great year. You know, you pick him up off the line. But I will say a lot of people were critical of my wide receiver position with Amari Cooper there. And I will say that, let's say Deshaun Watson, let's say the NFL wins their appeal and Deshaun Watson is suspended for maybe two more weeks. Let's say he's back after week nine. After week 7 and 9, like Kelly, I'm thinking of it as I'm going to be a second half team, because once DeAndre Hopkins is going to come back after week 7, so then I can bump Cooper down to the flex position with DeAndre and McLaurin in my wide receiver spot. If Deshaun is back, then Cooper becomes a really good flex option, because who else do they have out there in Cleveland besides Amari Cooper in the passing game? As you remember, Jarvis Landry is now in New Orleans. David Njoku, people are talking him up, but to me, he's underwhelmed. I know they extended him, but he just never lived. He's an athletic tight end who's never lived up to the hype. So it's Amari Cooper or nothing in the passing game in Cleveland. If Deshaun Watson is back, my wide receiver position is set.
Well, we'll see how it all goes. All I know, Kelly, is Mo, I still have faith that he can make the playoffs, even though he's going to be 0-1 to start the season. As he plays Gully's Gashers in week one.
Well, that means he's going to be 1-1 after 3 weeks. He plays me in week 3.
There you go.
I'll say very one thing real quick. Deshaun Watson's getting 12 games. And with their bye week, that means he's going to be out the first 13 weeks. That's my guess. Still kind of like the Amari Cooper pick where you got him, though. I mean, that wasn't too bad. I mean, the value on it wasn't too bad because there's no one else there to catch the football except for, you know, who knows. Well, where they're going to be. You know, they're probably going to get rid of Dearness Johnson, I think, and keep Kareem Hunt. But Kareem Hunt wants to leave. That's more passes that are going to be going to somebody, and they're going to Cooper.
Yep. And see, that's the issue with being in a league with all Raiders fans, right? Because just like betting, and Kelly will tell you this, you don't bet with your heart. And fantasy football, the same thing. And I think, Mo, you were getting a little bit of hate because of Amari Cooper's Raider background, not because of him as a player and in the situation he's in, because he's in the perfect situation for fantasy.
Absolutely. Like Kelly said, he's going to get most of the targets, even if it's Jacoby Brissett. It's him and David Bell and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, come on.
Who?
No competition there.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be a fun season. And we were also... we'll bring on folks from the league to our listeners. We're going to bring them on as well as we do these segments as games get rolling. We still have, obviously, several weeks. We're going to check in, though, again with Kelly next week to see what kind of movements there have been on rosters and, obviously, a fallout from injuries and things. That's the one thing with drafting early, too, is injuries. You know, a team looks good. I like my team a lot right now, but in 3 weeks it could be crap again because of injuries, especially significant injuries. I invested mostly in the starters. My bench is pretty weak. So if some of those guys go down, I'm gambling that they don't. If they do, then I find myself in trouble. And I know, Mo, you got something smart ass to say. Go ahead.
Do you hear that? Kelly, that sounds like excuses to me. You sound like John Gruden after the Raiders lose running back, lose their third string running back. He's got some type of excuse. Oh, it's COVID. Oh, we got injuries. We just got this. We got that.
We just heard 10 minutes of you guys giving excuses about your team, and you're telling me I'm giving excuses?
I gave zero excuses for my team. I heard nothing but excuses just now from you.
I did no excuses.
I didn't even get to talk about my team.
Yeah, we did.
You said that I said something about as a second half team. I didn't say that. Mo did. There's a chance in the second half of the season, because the guys that I drafted, if you told me that seven of them were on injured reserve by week nine, I'd be like, yeah, that can happen.
It also says here, Kelly, since you got all butthurt about not talking more about your team, we'll talk about it. It says here, too, that you're really young, that your team is young, which is interesting because yesterday we were chatting – And you were talking about staying away from rookies, but you got a lot of young players, so you're betting on guys who might be flying a little under the radar, but it was significant enough that they noted it in your draft notes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of young players, so like age of those guys was going to be low because it does like early, like younger guys. Also, I love like right now when they're doing those projections, I'm going to have everybody has. They've got me all season with a zero at tight end.
That's true.
That's probably not going to happen. No, that might, but I don't see that happening, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
I love it. All right. Well, there you go. There is your fantasy update, and we'll gear up. As you can tell, it'll be fun. I can't wait to guys to bring on one of the listeners to talk trash with us on these shows as well. That's going to be fun. Bringing in a fourth person and talking about that. And we'll have to do it after significant matchups, significant wins or losses or injuries. And we'll bring those guys on and we'll have fun with them. But Kelly, man, thanks again. Any parting words?
No, I just looked about a month from now. This was by far the earliest I've ever drafted a fantasy football team. Mm-hmm.
It was tough. I know. I would say that if we would have waited a couple weeks, it would have been fine. Although with some schedules and stuff, it was troubling to be able to do that. We weren't going to be able to do it. So we got it done with. We'll see what goes on. And again, another excuse from somebody that's not me. All right, Kelly. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That wasn't an excuse. I think it makes it more fun because you have no idea what's going to happen to your team the next 3 weeks.
That's true. We don't. It makes it even more the buildup towards the regular season even better. 100% agree. All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. There you go. Kelly Kreiner talking fantasy football. Mo. I can't believe you said excuses. You were using excuses. Come on, man.
Yeah. I had no excuses for my team. I said, look, this is what I did and why I did it. And by the second half of the season, I will be crushing everyone in my pathway. Kelly, like I said, I like his roster. If one or two of his young bats pan out, he's going to be in the mix.
Yes.
But Rossi and Slow Jam James are the two guys I'm looking at to make the playoffs. Also, I think you're going to make the playoffs, as you should, with the first pick. You're going to start off 0-1, but that's okay, because I think you'll rebound after the season opener, and then you may go on a little roll there, but you're in the mix.
So as we get closer to game one, there will be some sort of wager between us, will there not?
Oh, why not? Yes. Make it fun.
That's my man. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. And again, we're going to get some of our listeners. Kudos to them. Really, everybody had a good draft. There was nobody in this league that was completely clueless. Every time I'm in a league, there's always one or two teams that are really bad, and most of us feed on that, and that's good. This league, nah. This league is going to be really competitive, and we joke and we had fun with the grades. They don't really mean much at all, but it makes fun for entertainment. So we appreciate you guys joining us. Mo, on Thursday, we will be back with roster moves news, if any. It's early, probably won't see any, but we're hoping maybe an offensive lineman. Then the other thing we're going to dive deep on is Patrick Graham's defense. That's one thing we didn't really talk a ton about coming out of the preseason game, but I want to get into that. And I know you have strong opinions and observations from that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also would just like to hope that guys are coming back healthy, because there are a lot of defensive players that are out because of injuries, or they were missing practices, so they didn't play last Thursday. So I'm hoping we get to see those guys Sunday against the Vikings.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're also taking your questions. Yes, if you have questions for Mostradamus, if you have questions about the Raiders, if you have questions about his food takes, if you have questions about the NFL.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football as well. You can ask me those questions.
With the exclusion of Kelly and Rossi. Kelly and Rossi, no fantasy football questions guys. Everyone else, send them in.
but you have your questions, send them to mail@silverandblacktoday.com. mail@silverandblacktoday.com. Mo and I are going to start dropping a mini show every week where we just go through your questions. So just a quick hitter, three or four questions. If your question is highlighted on the show, y'all get some free swag. You get a free show sticker. We will send it to you, so include your address. And then we'll pick one winner with the best question, or a question that stumps Mo or makes him look foolish. No, I'm just kidding. We will give you a free T-shirt, a show T-shirt. Yes, so get in your questions, mail@silverandblacktoday.com, and we will get to those every week as well. That'll be audio only. Won't be doing those on video, but we'll probably include the question that won the T-shirt in every show of that week on that Thursday. So make sure you drop us those questions. Anything else, Mo? I mean, there might be questions of young ladies who might want to get in touch, or are we taking those questions or no?
That, I mean, if you want to slide into the DMs, that's what that's for. I mean, sometimes my DMs can be a little cluttered. If you can't get through the DMs and ask a question, all good,
Okay, do it that's that way, right. Too. I mean, being the Vince Lombardi of fantasy football, I'm sure you get a lot of DMs about fantasy football.
When you're the Vince Lombardi of fantasy football, women dig fantasy football champions.
They do. Absolutely. All right, so that is a recap of the show, and then we will be back with you on Thursday. Send in your questions, mail@silverandblacktoday.com. Follow Mo at MOEMOTON, Mo Moten. I am at LV Gully, and then follow Kelly as well at Rating the Draft on Twitter, and you can get in on our fun fantasy football talk and Raider talk as well. All right. For Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbrands, and this has been Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Again, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe to the audio portion wherever you get your podcast. And thank you. And once again, be good to one another, and we'll talk to you next time.